to Barely Audible Whisper, a weekly NPR parody podcast in no way associated with NPR, brought to you in no part by the following parody sponsors.
ABC, how could we have possibly predicted that a woman who once dressed like Hitler, displaying, quote, Jew cookies from an oven, would turn out to be a racist?
Disney, taking the courageous moral stand to stop cashing in on a racist the moment it became a liability.
And Ambien, warning Ambien may cause racism in racists.
I am Dave.
And I am Molly, and our voices are soft and pleasant as part of our continuing commitment to be nothing like Roseanne Barr.
In keeping with the new news tradition of every famous man I have ever admired turning out to be a pervert, 8 women filed sexual harassment complaints against Morgan Freeman.
The complaints alleged repeated and persistent verbal sexual harassment, including obsessively asking about and discussing their panties.
Barely Audible Whisper sat down with Morgan Freeman for a post-apology interview.
I am truly sorry for the explicit words which I so carelessly let drip from my talented tongue, like a penthouse letter trying to pass itself off as erotic poetry. For so long my voice has been so celebrated for the silk sweetness of the profoundness of its sound, it never occurred to me that I could utter an offense to any ear. A narrator's life is a life spoken aloud. The non-stop narrations of non-stop narration work have rendered me unable to not narrate. And so, not capable of not narrating, I narrated that which one should not narrate. The perpetual stream of perverse thought that most men casually cast away like penile pebbles in a semen-soaked scum pond cascade from my mouth like a workplace inappropriate waterfall. I sincerely apologize to whomever I have hurt with the gilded gravitas of my unfiltered narration.
Mr. Freeman, do you honestly expect me to believe that you are incapable of not expressing your inner thoughts out loud?
It was clear from the get-go this interview would be no fangirl fluff piece, but try as I might to portray the sincerity of my contrition, I cannot shake the desire to fluff her piece.
I'm sitting right in front of you.
I do not believe that fluffing a piece is even a thing. Yet the very phrase fluff piece suggests to my mind a magical fluff cloud made of panties.
That is quite enough, Mr. Freeman.
As she glared at me, her eyes betrayed an internal turmoil between professionalism and disgust. The journalist that wants to control this interview can barely contain the empowered woman that wants to punch my mouth so hard the silken gravitas of my sweet, soulful voice will sound silly with swollenness.
I'm not buying the act, Mr. Freeman. You're perfectly capable of controlling yourself.
I know all too well the glare of internal turmoil. It is the look that has looked back at me ever since I started narrating in real time. I don't much notice the glare when I first get it. The eye daggers are usually drawn whilst attention is turned away from the eyes, and my thoughts are occupied with panties.
Your beautiful voice does not entitle you to pretend some sort of Harvey Weinstein Tourette syndrome.
Panties. Panties, panties. Silk panties. Lacy panties. Thongs. Panties. Panties. Panties.
What is this? Pervert Bubba Gump?
Are your panties in a wad? Such a vile expression for such a divine concept. What would be more wonderful than to wade into an entire wad of panties?
Please stop talking about panties.
Perhaps no panties at all. Perhaps pantylessness is her passionate pantyless secret. The phrase passionate pantyless secret draws my attention back to the drawn daggers of disgustedly glaring eyes.
Does it? How nice.
How nice is a question situationally dependent on the mysteries of human chemistry. How nice? Usually not nice at all. But on the rare occasion where the object of my out loud adoration adores my adoring narration, then how nice is quite nice indeed. To just the right ears in just the right moment, I can narrate a woman to orgasm.
We're done here.
I apologize again for the pain my silk-throated thoughts of silk panties has caused.
That was the worst interview I have ever done. His creepiness lingers in my mind like a bad dream you cannot fully remember. The tangible experience has disturbed me intangibly. I can neither name nor touch nor understand the gnawing feeling that lingers and nags at my soul like an effectively narrated Morgan Freeman voiceover. It occurs to me that I too have become afflicted with the uncontrollable need to narrate.
She had dumps like a truck. 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 Thighs like what? 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 Baby, move your butt. 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 Let me see that thong. That thong, tha-thong, thong, thong.
In less than 2 weeks, a peace summit between President Trump and North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un is scheduled to not take place.
Plans for the summit, which the president bragged about, canceled, continues to brag about, hints about uncanceling while bragging about having canceled it, appear to be moving on as scheduled, even though the summit remains unscheduled.
While this simultaneously canceled and not canceled nuclear Schrodinger's cat has long-term existential global consequences, Barely Audible Whisper examined the short-term practical consequences facing Singapore as they simultaneously prepare to host and not host a major summit.
Less than 2 weeks from now, the streets of Singapore will be fortified by security checkpoints, roadblocked for motorcades, and overflowing with journalists from every media outlet on Earth. Or else, it will just be a Tuesday. Singaporean citizens don't know what to hope for.
On the one hand, I hope that the summit can go forward and we can avoid World War III. On the other hand, I really don't want to deal with the traffic.
Our hotel will host the American delegation, or we will have no bookings at the height of tourist season.
I'm deeply afraid of the desperate frustration that could come from humanity being stressed to its breaking point. I'm also afraid of World War III.
Either way, this hotel is facing a labor crisis. If we are vacant at the beginning of summer, there will be layoffs. If we host President Trump, the housekeeping staff will quit rather than clean hooker urine.
Security may be an even bigger problem than traffic and hooker urine.
A lot goes into ensuring security for a meeting between the two most hated men in the world. If I haphazardly throw together a poorly thought through security detail with the same carelessness that Mr. Trump and Mr. Un have haphazardly thrown together a poorly thought through summit, lives could be lost. But not so many lives could be lost by a haphazardly poorly thought through summit, but still.
As an assassin, I can't lose. Usually when two antagonistic world leaders get together, I want to assassinate one, but not the other. Not having to stress about assassinating the wrong target really takes the pressure off.
Not knowing if the summit is gonna happen makes it difficult to staff appropriate levels of personnel. Luckily, I've been assured that if the summit does take place, I can hire a bunch of unemployed hotel housekeepers.
Security at these things is usually really tight, but all I have to do in this case is outmaneuver a handful of unemployed hotel housekeepers.
If anything goes wrong, it's my ass. The only thing Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un are good at is blaming foreigners for their own mistakes. Those hotel housekeepers better be as relentless working security as they are as hotel housekeepers, or I'll be more ruined than a bedsheet covered in hooker urine.
Housekeeping!
Go away.
Housekeeping, I foil your sinister plot now.
I'm doing an interview right now. Come back later.
Housekeeping, I come inside. I foil your sinister plot now.
Like a bedsheet covered in hooker urine, I was no match for hotel housekeeping.
Whether traveling for business, pleasure, or assassination, every trip will inevitably be ruined by overly persistent hotel housekeeping. And so, as the world waits for war or peace, Singapore waits for traffic or Tuesday.
Get the hell out of the intersection, you goddamn foreign journalists! That's just what Singapore needs. 100,000 more goddamn foreign correspondents filing goddamn reports all over the goddamn place. You know what? Screw it. I hope this does end in World War III. At least nuclear holocaust will alleviate some of the goddamn traffic.
social media can be a very confusing place, especially if you don't use it.
Over the last week, there was a lot of confusion online about unaccompanied minor immigrants, also known as helpless desperate children.
The only person, it seems, who has a chance to sort the fake online news from the exaggerated online news, from the misleading online news from the actual online news,
if such a thing even exists,
is our social media correspondent, Brooke Booker McCook. We go now to her report.
Hi, I'm Brooke Booker McCook, and yes, I was named by a chicken. If you're like me, your Facebook feed this past weekend was filled with stories about missing immigrant and refugee children, children being separated from their parents at the border, and dozens of people asking, in all caps, where is the outrage over the missing children? Well, I did some digging and found out these are two separate issues. Who knew? So to help us keep these two seemingly related stories separate, I've called in two experts on immigration, Drs. Ford Rivers and Wally Scaler.
Hi.
Hi.
Dr. Rivers, you're here to talk about ORR, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, and the 1,475 missing children.
That's correct. ORR is a division of Health and Human Services.
And Dr. Scaler, you're here to talk about ICE and the issue of separating parents from their children.
That's correct. ICE is a division of Homeland Security.
I'm sorry, I just realized something. The whole point is to help tell your issues apart, but your voices sound really similar.
Really?
I don't hear it.
Dr. Rivers, could you maybe speak in a lower voice and Dr. Scaler in a higher voice? Just to help tell you apart. I should have done this as a video. It's all my fault.
Oh, that's fine. We can try.
How's this?
Better. So, if I understand things correctly from my Facebook feed, children are getting separated from their parents at the border, and 1,500 of them have gone missing, which means they were probably sold to human traffickers.
No, that's not—
Lower, please.
ORR is not supposed to know too much about where the kids go. The goal is to safely get them into the care of family or trusted friends living in America. Some of those caregivers would be distrustful of the agency if they were keeping stricter records.
So historically—
Higher, please.
Historically speaking, when ICE apprehends an unaccompanied minor, they hand them over to ORR.
Doing what's best for the helpless, desperate children.
A little lower.
Doing what's best for the helpless, desperate children.
But under the Trump administration, ICE is now working more closely with ORR, which is bad news for the helpless, desperate children.
And this is where the 1,475 missing children come in. They are missing from government records. And if we fall for the misleading press reports and demand that these children be found, the result will be more deportations.
Wow, I did not get that from the news.
It's confusing.
Higher.
It's confusing because the parents who are separated from their helpless, desperate children at the border have no idea where their helpless, desperate children are. But these children are not missing.
Where are they?
They're put into the care of ORR. But under this administration, ORR's main focus no longer is the safety of the helpless, desperate children.
So in brief, the 1,475 helpless, desperate children I'm talking about are with family and friends. But the government doesn't know where they are. No outrage necessary.
And the helpless, desperate children I'm talking about are in government, cough, care, and their parents don't know where they are. It's a horrendous travesty.
Just a notch higher.
It's a horrendous travesty, and we should all be ashamed as Americans.
And are these the ones who are being sold to traffickers?
I brought in a colleague to help clear that up. May I introduce Dr. Nadar Del Mar?
Thank you, Dr. Rivers. Another article has been making the rounds, and it illustrates why it's important to check the dates.
I'm sorry, Dr. Del Mar, but your voice sounds too much like the others. Could you do your accent?
What do you mean, my accent? I've lived in America since I was a baby. English is my first—
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to— Any accent would be fine, actually.
I can kind of do Irish.
Perfect.
It's important to check the dates on anything you post. In 2014, there was quite the flood of unaccompanied minors. 'Twas a shame, truly, but many desperate, helpless children were placed in the hands of traffickers.
That's awful! How did this happen?
The ORR did a mighty terrible job.
Whoa, what's with the accent?
Sorry, it's contagious. The ORR did a terrible job. They were overloaded and skipped vital steps in the vetting process. They've addressed these problems since.
So we shouldn't be concerned about trafficking now?
Not in this case, but we have plenty to be concerned about. Separating parents from their helpless, desperate children is cruel.
We're essentially forcing them to choose whether the situation in their home country, which must be bad enough that they're trying to escape, is worth the risk of being torn apart from their children.
A little bit higher.
No! This issue is too important to be dealt with in silly voices.
I promise, it's helping keep the issue separate.
I don't care! Our government is borrowing their immigration policy from Hitler's playbook, and... You know what? Maybe I should use a German accent. That'd drive the point home. We take the helpless, desperate children from their parents, yeah! We keep them in bunk beds until they are 18, and then we send them back. We break their spirits so no one will want to come to America again. We must become the whitest country in the world! Jawohl, mein Führer!
Thanks, I think that worked.
According to a report from CNN Money, diamond company De Beers will begin selling synthetic lab-grown diamonds at a fraction of the price of real stones. According to the article, quote, synthetic diamonds, which can be produced in 500 hours, share the same physical, chemical, and optical characteristic as natural stones, but they are not nearly as valuable.
How can something be exactly the same but not nearly as valuable? If you have a well-thought-out answer to that question, you probably married for money.
Barely audible whisper turned to snotty aristocrat Rutherford P. Rutherford III for a deeper look at the difference between things that are real and things that are exactly the same as things that are real, but have less real value than the real things.
As a wealthy but otherwise undesirable man with a beautiful but otherwise undesirable wife, and an even more beautiful but otherwise even less desirable mistress, I can assure you that a diamond by any other name will not get you laid.
No, it won't.
The definition of a thing is defined by the physical, chemical, and optical characteristics of that thing. Diamonds, however, are not defined by their definition, but the perception of their value. They look expensive, therefore they are expensive. Therefore they are prized by shallow women, prized by shallow men.
Diamonds are like a Hummer you can wear around your neck.
Indeed, not only are diamonds like wearable Hummer diamonds, also get me Hummers. While in my Hummer. While she wears nothing but a wearable Hummer.
Guys who drive Hummers buy you diamonds when you give them Hummers.
Affordable synthetic diamonds could create a scenario in which a poor man could purchase a Hummer-quality Hummer in a Hyundai. But a Hummer in a Hyundai is too cheap to be truly a Hummer.
Guys who drive Hyundais are gross because they can't afford diamonds. But if a guy who drives a Hyundai could somehow also buy me diamonds, then that would mean... What would that mean?
Fortunately, her critical thinking skills are as worthless as a Hyundai.
He drives a Hyundai, but he can also buy me diamonds.
In fact, she reasons on such Hyundai-like levels. I doubt she has the spatial reasoning to figure out how to give a Hummer inside a Hyundai's cramped interior.
Hyundai. Diamonds.
Eventually, even she will figure it out. Which means I will have to think of a completely different thing whose perceived value is vastly greater than its physical reality.
What if I gave the guy with the Hyundai a Hummer?
I know thinking of a new thing isn't the hardest thing to think of, but if I wanted to think about things, I wouldn't be into women like her.
If the Hummer I wear around my neck comes from a Hummer I gave in a Hyundai, does that mean I'm wearing a Hyundai around my neck?
Ow. According to the Washington Post, during a meeting with advisors Jared Kushner and Stephen Miller, President Trump was, quote, acting as if he was at a rally. He recited a few made-up Hispanic names and described potential crimes they could have committed, such as rape or murder. Then he said the crowds would roar when the criminals were thrown out of the country. The story goes on to say that, quote, Miller and Kushner laughed.
The White House denies the story, but if you believe this White House over a well-sourced reporting of the Washington Post, we recommend that you stop everything that you are doing and make reevaluating the way you evaluate credibility your top priority.
While it is journalistically irresponsible to conclude a direct causal link between Trump's racist rant and policy of separating immigrant children from their parents, with the reports of nearly 1,500 unaccounted for immigrant children, it is satirically irresponsible not to.
As always, our Trump impersonator is a woman because we hear he hates that.
Pina Colada is a murderer. Gito himo, the hell alto out of our el countryo. Cinco de Mayo Taco Bell is a rapist. El Azteca Combination Plate Number 7 steals El Camino's Ghetto the Hello Alto.
I like my comedy like I like my presidents. Racist.
La Cucaracha is a prostitute. She can stay.
Give us your tired, your poor, and your huddled masses. Putin paid to pee.
Wrong. You are not funny, Jared Kushner. Only Trump tells jokes. Go have sex with my daughter so you can describe it to me later.
I hated his joke, Mr. President.
Here's one I just thought of all by myself. Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. Putin paid to pee.
I love that joke, Mr. President.
I wrote that joke. It is hilarious.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. President, but we have a problem.
El fake newso. The real problem, though, is all of the el crime-o being committed by Gordita Chalupa Jalapeno Taco Shell Mexican Coke Jorge Ramos Margarita Mondays and every shortstop in Major League Baseball.
Mr. President, while your hilarious workplace antics make it impossible for me to understand why so many people have quit working here, I must inform you that almost 1,500 children are unaccounted for.
Michael Cohen accounts for all of the women who have all of my unaccounted for children.
No, not your children.
Wow, 1,500? Really?
The FBI broke into his office and murdered my attorney, client privilege. I should make up a funny Mexican name for the FBI. Fajito, Bandito, Enrique.
Hilarious, Mr. President. And you almost got all three letters right.
I'm actually referring to the almost 1,500 children whose whereabouts our administration cannot confirm.
Evangelicals love me. Nobody is more Jesus than Trump. 1,500 missing children will upset evangelicals because they are pro-life. I'm opposed to all abortions, except for the 1,500 exceptions of abortions I made Michael Cohen pay for.
Wow. 1,500? Really?
No, Mr. President, the Office of Refugee Resettlement cannot account for almost 1,500 children. We assume most of them are simply hiding from us for fear of being deported.
Kiko, Piquitos, Taquitos, Bambitos, the hello, alto.
Either way, the fact that we cannot verify the whereabouts of almost 1,500 immigrant children is a problem.
Wow! 1,500? Really?
You had me worried for a minute. I thought you were talking about real children, not immigrant children. People who voted for Trump either don't care about immigrant children or don't care that I don't care about immigrant children.
With all due respect, Mr. President, 1,500 children are missing. We have to do something.
Wow! 1,500? Really?
Blame Obama.
Mr. President, this has nothing to do with Obama.
Blaming Obama has nothing to do with something actually being Obama's fault. Now, if you all will excuse me, it's Memorial Day. I have to tweet about how happy our fallen soldiers would be to know that they died so that I could be president.
Wow! 1,500? Really?
The Trump campaign is far from the first presidential campaign that the Russian government offered to help, but unlike Russian efforts to collude with Adlai Stevenson, John F. Kennedy, and Lyndon Johnson, the Trump campaign is the first known American presidential campaign to respond to the offer by saying, quote, I love it.
And now Barely Audible Whisper presents a brief history of Russian attempts to interfere in American elections.
In 2016, Donald Trump Jr., the president's eldest son and the human embodiment of Axe hair gel, responded to an offer by Russian intelligence agents to conspire with his father, the human embodiment of whatever the preferred hair gel of vain douches was before the advent of Axe, saying, quote, I love it. The response of I love it breaks the long-established historical precedent of presidential candidates responding to offers to participate in Russian government conspiracies to interfere in American elections with some variation of the phrase, go fuck yourself. President Truman responded to the offer of conspiratorial Russian assistance by personally giving them the buck that famously stopped on his desk with which to go fuck themselves. While President Kennedy responded more eloquently, ask not what your country can do for me, ask what your country can do to go fuck itself. Hell, even Nixon was above treason.
Go fuck yourself.
And so, shocking as it was to Americans that Donald Trump Jr. responded to the prospect of committing treason with the same enthusiastic, I love it, with which most Americans respond to the prospect of free concert tickets, we imagine that after 80 plus years of being told to go fuck themselves, it was equally shocking to the Russians. As always, our Donald Trump Jr. impersonator is a stupid, spoiled child because Donald Trump Jr. is a stupid, spoiled child.
We want to give you stolen dirt on Hillary Clinton as part of Russian government efforts to help your father win election.
I love it!
I understand. Sorry for wasting your time. Wait, did you say I love it? Literally everyone else I asked to commit treason says, go fuck yourself. But I could have sworn you just said, I love it.
That's what makes me a winner.
Yes, you have a very winning attitude toward treason.
Winning is 25% winning, 50% attitude, 15% more winning, and 85% having a rich daddy.
Either you are idiot, or I do not understand the American system for weights and measures.
Attitude is the highest number. The alligator eats the bigger number, and then I shoot the alligator.
You're idiot.
When Daddy gets to be president, he's gonna let me shoot all the animals I want, even the endangered ones. Endangered animals make the best trophies, and if you get the most of the best trophies, then Daddy has to love you.
I come from saddest country in history of world, but that is saddest thing I have ever heard.
And Daddy says when Daddy gets to be president, I get to play Daddy at Daddy's company.
Bolton says if your father becomes president, I will not be geared. So is win-win situation.
Winning is 35% trophies, 65% rich daddy, 45% more trophies, and 20% plaques for winning prizes that don't award trophies.
It is best if you avoid parts of plan that involve doing math.
When I get to play daddy at daddy's company, daddy says he's gonna make it the law that daddy's company has to make the most money.
Actually, it's best if you avoid parts of plan that involve doing anything.
When you play daddy at daddy's company and daddy's company makes the most money, then daddy has to love you.
You arrange meeting with campaign people who are not such idiots. After people I've dealt with so far, anyone smarter than Carter Page and more sober than George Papadopoulos will seem like a winner.
Winning is 35% winning, 45% trophies, 15% shooting endangered animals, 50% dead endangered animal trophies, and eventually 100% daddy loves you!
Cat, cradle, silver spoon, little boy blue, man moon, when come home, no when, be together then. Be gathered then.
She had dumps like a truck. Truck. Truck.
Thank you for listening to Barely Audible Whisper. I'm your co-host, writer, and sound guy, Dave Baldwin. Thank you very much to my lovely co-host and actress, Molly Brown. To the great writer and actor, Daniel Carter Brown. To the wonderful Emily Sams Brown. Hilarious Michael Morgan. And the talented Corey Burns. Please like us on your social media thing. Subscribe to us on your podcast podcast things and share us with all of your friends. We greatly appreciate your support.
That thong, fa thong, thong, thong.
Hubris!